Good evening, this is CMD Radio featuring me, Aziel, and the Google.
How are you doing?
Anyway, this is a weekly show on the latest in technology, hardware, software, privacy, laws, hacking, freaking, and other interesting topics. We just got our forum up. Visit us at www.cmdradio.com. Please email us your questions, suggestions, complaints. If you got something that you want to hear on our show, feel free to contribute. We will give credit to you. Email us at cmdradio@gmail.com. We had a great show tonight. We're covering a lot of interesting topics, some great software to play around with, and the WeKey is going to be our featured topic this evening. But, okay, moving along.
Okay, so the Google, what do you got for us?
Yeah, it's been a fun week. It's up and down. A couple of mishaps here and there. But looking through the tech news, I found a legal issue on techdirt.com. It talks about how if you're going to kill your spouse, you probably shouldn't Google how to commit murder.
Are you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, back in 2005, the article talks about how Google searches can be used against you in a court of law after a man who searched Google for next snap break just before his wife was murdered, and then that evidence was presented to him at his trial. I mean, come on. If you're going to do the whole psychological killer mindset, at least think about it. Be smart. Don't search how to kill someone if you're going to kill someone. And now it's brought back up, it's 07, and someone is a woman's being accused of searching for a variety of incriminating phrases days before her husband was murdered. And among the searches were how to commit murder, instant poisons, undetectable poisons, and fatal desoction doses, which is basically eating too much of something.
Oh my God.
She also researched various gun laws in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And then a week later, her husband was murdered using a gun bought in Pennsylvania. And soon after, their woman had obtained a prescription for a well-known date rape drug. So, come on. Like, you know, it just makes you think. If you're going to kill someone, don't search Google. That's, or anything for that reason. It's like the cops figure that out. They say, oh, she has a computer. They go it on. They don't even have to go to Google for this information. This can be found on your computer. It can be in your cache of what you searched, you know? Some people keep their autocomplete set in. You go onto the computer, the Internet Explorer, you type how, your H, and it shows up how to kill, how to murder. I mean, this stuff doesn't even need to be summoned. It's stuff that's basic, that has nothing to do with whether or not they're legally allowed to handle the information over. It's on your computer. So, a little side note to anyone who out there is looking to hurt someone, don't search how to figure it out. You know, ask someone. Read a book.
Do you really need a tutorial on how to kill somebody?
I guess so. I mean, people are doing it, and it's coming up. This is not the first time I heard about this. This is a pretty common thing, I'm guessing. If it's showing up like this, this is probably the third or fourth time I heard someone searching death or how to kill someone or suicide, only to find that they commit suicide or kill someone, you know, a week or two later, or something comes up with the relevance of their search.
Wasn't the FBI trying to find child molesters and stuff from their searches on, like, child pornography and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anything that has to do with searching can lead right back to you, and it might, you know, kick you in the ass one of these days.
Maybe. I think I heard that Google is not going to be doing that anymore. They're going to be increasing their security and not giving out information to the government.
Yeah, I forget what site I was on, but I was reading about it, and same thing. At times, the FBI or the government, I don't know, however you want to look at it, was requesting information from Google based on people's privacy information, not necessarily the searches, but more just overall information about what people search, how they use the Google. Google, you can think of it as like a big mom and dad. Like, even if you don't mean to use Google, you still somehow use it, you know? Like, there might be a Google link on an ad on a site. Every site uses Google ads, you know, AdWords. So you might click on a link through. So now all of a sudden you're on some bad website and you clicked a Google link that led you to a worse website. So now Google knows where you were, and the government can then find out from Google where you were. So I'm not sure where the article is. Do you have an article on it?
I think it's on Slashdot. I don't know how far back in the archives it was, but I heard it on Off the Hook.
Yeah, and either way, it's the same thing. I think it was describing how they're going to delete any data on you within 18 to like 36 months. That's pretty good news considering there was no minimum to where they would never delete your data until I guess they figured they didn't need it anymore. So it means that, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, 5 years ago, you searched something on Google, the FBI could have pulled that up and maybe used it against you, or the government could have used it against you, But now it's less than it's just over a year. And so that's pretty nice to know that your data is now gone. And Google says that it's going to keep doing this and its new privacy policy until there's some kind of law or some type of enforcement from the government that says, you know, search engines have to at least maintain data for so long. And I'm pretty happy about it.
Hey, that's interesting. I found
this program this week that me and the Google had a lot of fun with.
Last weekend. It's called VoIP Stunt.
Yes, good program. Very good program.
I heard this program mentioned briefly in the Freaking Panel audio file from the HOPE number 6 conference in New York City. In case you don't know what HOPE is, it stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. It's a hacker conference held every 2 years at the Hotel Pennsylvania, which they're trying to tear down. It's a 3-day event. Look it up online. Check it out at 2600.com. So anyway, the program is called VoIP Stunt. VoIP Stunt is a voice over IP program that will allow you to make calls worldwide to any landline and cell phone anywhere in the country. It's based out of Europe, but anyone with internet access can use it. There's a free version that you can use with limited functionality that can give you a taste of how it functions. The free version only allows you to use 300 minutes a week, and each call is only limited to 4 minutes, 59 seconds, to be exact, and then it cuts you off. But anyway, you can do it a lot in 5 minutes with an anonymous phone call. We tried this out and found out caller ID does not show any info, so the person you are calling has no idea who the hell called. This can be used for a variety of uses. For example, if you want to social engineer someone, but you're scared to use your own phone, fire up VoIP Stunt, and if you can pull it off in less than 5 minutes, then you're set, with no fear of being able to be traced. This program also has legitimate uses. If you shell out some cash, you buy credits, and it'll lift the 5-minute call limit and lift the 300 minutes a week, depending on how much credit you buy, will determine how many calls you can make. So if you like to call Europe a lot, I would definitely recommend using VoIP Stunt. It's a lot cheaper than Verizon. And if you can avoid using Verizon, then please do at all costs.
Yeah, and Comcast sucks, too. Don't use Comcast.
Yeah, their VoIP service is pretty horrible, too.
No, they just suck as a company. They just suck. Just, you know, sorry, side note. A little side note in there. They suck.
Yeah, so do a Google search on VoIP Stunt. Try it out for yourself. Have fun. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
I prefer Skype, though, if you're making calls. But because it does allow you free 5-minute calls, social engineering has never been so much fun. And you never realize how much you could actually say in 4 minutes, 59 seconds, or how much information you can extract from someone. So check it out on VoIPStunt.com. And see, that brings me to my next... Actually, that doesn't even bring me to my next article. Are you technosexual? What is technosexual? Well, this is from UrbanDictionary.com, one of my favorite websites overall, just for some funny definitions. You have any kind of questions of some type of, definition you want, the slang version, or... I don't know, you want a good laugh, just head on over to UrbanDictionary.com, type in your search, and you get some pretty interesting definitions. Now, technosexual is a person, male or female, who is so deeply enthralled with technology, they discuss it with a level of passion that most people reserve for sex. Not always a geek or a nerd, but generally someone who has the latest and greatest everything. Yeah, pretty much. Now, I'm not trying to say I compare this to sex, because I'm not like that. I'm not trying to, like, you know, look at my monitor in a different way, by any chance. The sentence they use to help you explain the technosexual definition is, she became so excited about her laptop and her PDA that her friends knew she must be technosexual. So it gives you an idea if someone's really overjoyed and a little too much into their stuff, which I have to admit I am, because as soon as I get my new phone or, you know, I bought a new MP3 player, everyone knows about it. I don't care. It's the best, even if it isn't, just because I have it. So I can say that I can admit I am a technosexual, and, you know, I'm happy with myself. There's no problem.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, if I picked up a quad core, I mean, that might come close to sex. But you know what? If you're listening to this show, you probably are too.
Yeah, if you laughed at Bill's last joke, then you definitely are. If you definitely thought maybe you could be, you know, comparing sex to a quad core, you definitely are technosexual. So, you know, don't question yourself any further. If you're laughing with us, you definitely are. let's see, what else we got? I have some information on Blu-ray. In the milestone for the next generation disc format, the Blu-ray edition of Casino Royale cracked the top 10 on Amazon's DVD top seller list upon its release Tuesday, peaking late in the evening at number 8. Of course, the 2-disc standard def DVD still topped the chart at number 1, but a strong showing for Blu-ray regardless. So, and this is from Slashdot, by the way, it proves that the information or the Blu-ray is coming. I thought it'd be HD DVD first before Blu-ray. I guess a lot of people have PS3s. Because I know that I'm definitely not going to shell out $1,000 for a Blu-ray player when I can go out and buy a PS3 for $600.
That's the only thing I use it for.
Yeah, if I'm going to buy a PS3, it's because there's Blu-ray for $600 instead of Blu-ray for $1,000. And it's just, you know, I thought it was interesting seeing that it actually got to the top 8 of Amazon's DVD top sellers. What I find interesting is that the movie Casino Royale is number 1.
Well, you know what I heard this past week?
What?
The porn industry went with HD DVD.
Did it? I think that's really what it is. As maybe as childish or immature that may sound, that you're talking about porn over a HD DVD. Betamax and VHS, the competition between the two. Where did porn go?
VHS.
VHS. Who is the winner now? Who's up there now? Well, you know,
was
up there because now you don't. VHS. What's that? I think that's the same thing. If the porn industry sides with HD DVD, then a lot of people that enjoy that type of entertainment are going to go straight to that if they want their next high quality. If they're they're Playboy or something like that.
Well,
so
the past week it was finalized. That's what the industry is going to go with.
So there you go. Unless Blu-ray, but again, we saw this before. Sony Betamax, Sony Blu-ray. They lost the first time. second round isn't surprising. They lost again. But this is all from a presumptive point of view. I'm not exactly sure of their loss, but the strong showing on Amazon's DVDs shows they might have some type of a foothold in this tight HD Blu-ray battle.
Well, actually, I want you to talk about something that you had showed me, which I found really useful for the forums and registrations and shit for people who don't like to have their inboxes loaded with spam just because they want to register on a forum to read one freaking article.
Ah, okay. Dodgit. Dodgit.com. Yeah. It's email for anyone. Receive only. You can't send with Dodgit.com. So if you're...
There's no registration.
Right. All it is if you... signing up for a magazine online just so you can get a free $5 gift card somewhere, and they ask for your email, and you don't feel like signing up for a Gmail or a Hotmail or a Yahoo just so you can put this email through, make up a name, cmdradio at dodgit.com. Hit enter, and as soon as the request for that email is sent to dodgit.com, the account is created.
On the fly.
On the fly, and then anyone can view your mail. So when you go into the Dodgit.com, you see a little dialog box and it says, what's the username you use? Type in CMD Radio, hit go, and it shows all the whole inbox. Now, I think it's about like a couple weeks before your information is deleted.
Well, who cares? If it's just for like a registration and you
don't
want to add someone to your web to your email, you just make it up on the fly.
Exactly. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it works. And again, you can make any name you want. So... if you want to use like Amy or like Charles at Dodgit, if someone already created it, it's going to go there anyway. So you're just being the plethora of rest of the inbox, and it's fun to use. And
that's great.
Let's see. Oh, and talking a little more about Google. Surprisingly, this is going to be a pretty this podcast today is going to be about Google and the weed key. Not on purpose by any chance, just how it worked out. But Google admits to a phone project. They are working on a basic mobile phone to bring online advertising expertise in the handheld market. And I've got this from the Times Online, the business.timesonline.co.uk. It says, Google is working on a basic mobile phone to extend its dominance in internet advertising. Richard Winston of Nomura, the broker, said that Google representatives had talked about a device at an industry event in Germany. The report followed remarks by a Google executive in Spain who admitted the company is working on a handset. Google has come out of the closet at the CeBIT trade fair admitting that it is working on a mobile phone of its use, said Mr. Windsor in a research note. This is not going to be a high-end device, but a mass-market device aimed at bringing Google to users that don't have a PC. It is also known that executives from Orange, the mobile operator owned by France Telecom, were recently invited to talk with Google in Silicon Valley. I think that's great. Google, I'm for Google. I'm 100% Google. Anything to do with Google, I'm there. Woohoo on this phone. I'm excited about it. And the fact that it's not a high-end device, but mass-market device aimed at bringing Google to users who don't have a PC. Basically, it's saying, we don't care about the iPhone. The iPhone's $500. No, we don't care. We don't care about it, they're saying. That's what they say. We don't care about the iPhone. We want someone. So if you have a mobile phone, it's cheap. And it's probably going to have some type of a nice Google user interface. I'm waiting for Google OS. That's what I'm waiting for. So this is a pretty exciting for me. Not that I'm saying I would go with the Google phone. I'm happy with the phone I have, and I'm not looking to end my 2-year contract, but this is something to look into and see in the next few months or, you know, end of the year, a phone called Google.
Well, Google on cell phones. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even planning on talking about this. I just remembered. I figured out something. Well, I didn't figure it out. I read it in Wired magazine that, I don't know if you know about this, for people who don't have smartphones and you just have text messaging available and you want, like, the address or phone number to a store, did you know that I can text, like, if I send a text that says Target, Westchester, Pennsylvania, and I send it to Google, which spells out on your keypad, 466456, and hit send, within seconds, you'll get a text back giving all the local listings and addresses and phone numbers of them.
Yeah, I did that a couple times. I mean, I have internet on my phone, so I would just go to, you know, google.anyway and just type it in.
People like me who don't have it, you know, that's great if you're, like, driving and you don't have, you don't want to spend $10 to do a 411.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do it while driving either because you might, you know, be costing more than $10.
I don't really know. I'll find out my next phone bill. But I doubt it's Google. Google never charges you.
Well, I think that regular text messaging fees apply, right?
Yeah, but I have unlimited text, so.
Exactly, but I mean, for people that don't, I mean, I have 500 texts incoming and outgoing, so I don't use them up all month, but it would just take up my text, but I wouldn't mind because that's simple than waiting for someone to call you back with the information. And like you said, 401, yeah, why bother? You know, those voice recognition systems on 411 never work anyway.
They really don't.
You know, Target. Did you say Westchester Mall? No, I said Target. Burger King? No, I'm not hungry. So, you know, Google always bringing us, you know, a nice new innovative feature to our phone, to our search, anything like that. And I'm going to skip over a couple articles ahead and talk more about, well of course, Google. And they make it official. On Friday, the internet search giant announced it acquired in-game advertising company Adscape, according to a posting on Google's official blog. News of the acquisition comes a month after press reports cited a $23 million deal was in the works between the two companies. In its blog posting, that Adscape folks note, "Our charge at Adscape has always been to honor the game that was developed and find new ways to enable that game to continue so others can enjoy it. That's why we are so stoked to join Google, because these guys get it and are committed to help us continue our mission." But, you know, $23 million probably wouldn't hurt either. Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. Google, I mean, they're just buying and buying and buying. I'll buy YouTube, I'll buy Google, I'll pay off, you know, Viacom for some suing. Whatever. Doesn't matter. They're going to own the world soon, so just a matter of time now.
I think YouTube's getting sued by some TV show, are they not? For 1 million. No, 1 billion.
Isn't that Viacom? Is that Viacom? I'm not sure.
I don't know. But
maybe it's Fox. There's tons of companies that are suing them. But think, no one touched YouTube until Google bought them. Why? Because how much money did YouTube have before Google bought them?
Not much.
Not much. They were originally from above a pizza place. That's where they started, less than a year ago.
Yeah, it's a very short period of time to make $1.6 billion in.
Let's see. I think that's it. That's all I have on Google today. What else? What do you got today? Do you have any more articles? I got two more. What about you?
I'm just waiting for the wiki.
All right, I'll finish up these couple articles. They're exciting to me, so I'm gonna. 10 bad money habits to break. I think it's important for Aziel and I to look at these. And, you know, I know I sometimes just spend money just to spend it.
I can almost guarantee Aziel does the same thing.
Right?
I do spend money just to spend it.
Yeah, so you feel like you need, like, I need to buy something new. I haven't bought something in a while.
And it has to be, like, electronics or something.
Like, useful. Like, I'm not going to buy clothes. Like, and this article just tells how to break those habits, you know, how to save. And, you know, the discipline involved. Let's see, the 10 lists are spending without a budget. This is what you don't want to do.
Which is what I was doing up until the past week.
Yeah, without a budget. So that didn't matter how much you spent it. Carrying a balance on credit cards.
Yeah, I got a full balance on mine.
So that's not good, you know? Ignoring interest rates.
What 20%? How can you ignore that?
You know, that might be a little extreme because I understand that I spend money. I'm not oblivious to the fact that I spend money. But ignoring interest rates is definitely going to hurt me in the long run, because something that costs $100 might cost you like $300 if you don't pay it off in the first month after a few months of interest collecting. Not investigating disability insurance. I'm not sure where that one's pointing to. Not investigating disability insurance. So I guess disability really wouldn't be in anything I would do. I guess I wouldn't disability if I don't have a full time job. So either way, if you ignore disability insurance, it's obviously telling yourself, I'm not going to get hurt, and when I do get hurt, I'll have enough money. And then a week later, you break your leg and you have no disability insurance. You got to pay it all out of your pocket. Ah, this is a big one.
This failing, is a huge one.
Failing to see how little purchases add up.
A dollar here and a dollar there on Burger King. Oh my God, will that add up?
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, I mean, I just paid off my eBay listings. It was like $30. I don't know how it got so high. You know, I mean, I list something for like $1.25 or something, or $1.50.
And I always throw in the extra, dollar bold, whatever.
It adds up. I mean, I sold something on eBay for $40. It paid for my listing fee. it paid just
fees for that whole month.
But you understand just the idea, like, even though $30 isn't that much money, it still adds up. I mean, it wasn't $30 off the bat. It was 30 separate purchases that added up to that. So, keep that in mind. This one, let's see what this one is. Not matching employer's contribution to retirement. One of the biggest mistakes that lots and lots of people make, especially young people, is not investing in their employer's retirement plan, at least up to the point where their employers match. By not doing that, they're leaving additional income on the table. That's very good, considering that most companies will match so much to your retirement. Now, just do it. Just match that. Just put that money out there. You know, even though at the time your paycheck might be lower each week. However it works out. You know, in the end, you're losing $100. You know, extra a year or however much it is. Just do it, because if they're matching it, it's double the amount. So you can think of it in sense of you're saving money, because instead of spending that $200, you're only spending the $100 because your employer is giving out. You know, you're doubling their side. And waiting until the last minute to fund the IRA. Yeah, that definitely is not a good money-saving habit.
That is when you don't claim zero on your taxes and you get more money up front, but then at the end of the year you owe an assload of money.
Yeah, that definitely not the way to do it. Paying everyone else, saving what's left. Now, that actually is very true. Paying everyone else and saving what's left. So, like, say you're in debt by, $2,000, and you have $3,000, you might just give the $2,000 to everyone else and then I'll save the $1,000. That's not going to work. As logical as that may seem, the way to do it, even though it seems more unethical, is if you owe someone, $500 and owe someone else, $300 and you only have $1,000, give each of them $100, a month, pay them monthly. That way you still have money to use for yourself to self save. Paying people off directly and then saving what's left isn't going to work, because now all of a sudden you have only a couple hundred dollars left and you can't save that because you need it to spend to live. So you're back in debt. So don't just pay everyone else off and save what's left unless, you hit the jackpot. But it is important, if you have debt, to pay off what you can afford. You're in debt for a reason. Don't go back into it. And the last two is not managing your investments. And getting emotional about your investments. So you don't care about where you invest. You throw your money into stock, and then you get emotional if you lose some of it. You can't dwell on it because it happened. You lost so much money. The price went down. You bought too high. It's pointless to keep thinking about it. And instead, next time realize where you're managing your money, and that way the outcome will be high, and you won't get so upset. Those are the 10 habits to kick if you want to save money and, not spend erratically or somehow always be the one without money. And, go for it.
You could save up for that new, quad core, whatever the hell is coming out. You'll have the money to pay for it without feeling bad because you bought that new quad core. If you saved your money, you could buy it and not have it hurt your income.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it. A lot of people, even though I'm only 18 years old and I never bought a house or even a car for that reason, my biggest investment was, my computer or my monitor or something like you know, very basic like that. You know, if you have $10,000 to spend on a car, don't spend $10,000 on the car. You know, don't go to the dealer saying I have $10,000 to spend because you're going to get offered a $12,000 car.
You want to spend more.
And they're going to say, oh, well, you're low. If you want to make payments, it's only $230 a month instead of $200. Well, if you want to spend $12,000 on a car, save $12,000. You know, that's the same thing. If you only have $10,000 to spend on a car, don't spend over $9,000. That's the, I mean, because that's the easiest way to do it. Because if you say to yourself $10,000, it's going to go to $11,000. That you're like, hey, it's only $1,000 more. I'll pay it off with the loan. You know, no, don't do that because you the point of saving was why save $10,000 if you're going to spend $11,000? It was pointless. So that just, you know, goes to show another thing. You know, save a certain amount and spend that certain amount. You know, and don't spend over. Don't think because you have so much you can spend more with it, you know, because it's just a little bit more. That's the last on that article. And that was from lifehack.org. Pretty nice site. Just shows you the hacks of life.
we all love hacking, so.
You know, hack life, you know? It's a big source code. Took a long time to read that. Tell you that right now. The last thing I have, a little off topic compared to what we've been talking about. Radioactive Boy Scout. Teenager achieves nuclear fusion at home. I think this is pretty awesome. And this is actually – the article is new, was written only a few weeks ago from DiscoverMagazine.com. But the story itself is back from 06. In 2006, Thiago Olson joined the extremely sparse ranks of amateurs worldwide who have achieved nuclear fusion with a home apparatus. In other words, he built the business end of a hydrogen bomb in his basement. The plasma star in a jar shown at the left demonstrated his success. And there's a picture on the website.
Is this even legal? I'm taking a look at this. This cannot be legal.
It is. If you look on the bottom of the article, it says, and the last like couple last sentences, that, and aside from using high voltage emitting low-level radiation, the machine has been deemed harmless. About a week ago, the Department of Health from Michigan called my principal. They wanted to come over and inspect it. They did that. They were impressed, and it checked out. Looking at this image here, it looks pretty crazy. I mean... it says in the article, for 2 years, Olson researched what he would need and scrounged around for parts on eBay and the hardware store. I mean, I don't know if your hardware store is carrying, you know, deuterium source or neutron bubble decimeter, but mine sure isn't. And I guess you can get anything from eBay, but I think it's awesome because it states that the temperature of the plasma is around 200 million degrees, several times higher than the core of the sun. And it's not a very effective machine because it takes more energy to run it than it does than what it produces. So it's not effective at all in the sense of, you know, he's going to be selling this to someone soon. But it just shows how the government spends billions of dollars doing research on nuclear fusion. And, you know, someone who is, you know, a senior in high school spent his spare time making one. I just thought it was pretty funny.
If you were Arab and you did this in your basement, you'd be arrested in a heartbeat.
Yeah, true. I mean, his name is Thiago Olson, so I'm not sure exactly.
His ethnicity.
Yeah, but either way, the health department checked it out, and it worked. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no harmful substances. It wasn't going to explode. You know, mind, it's not close to what, you know, a hydrogen bomb is. It's just the whole basis of it, where it starts, you know, nuclear fusion.
And, yeah, but still, I mean, you, like, some kid can build this in his basement, and, you know, the government's like, oh, okay, but God forbid you write a piece of software that takes away the security of a DVD. You'll wind up in jail.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, well, but think about it, though, like...
That's not harmful either.
What? Well, I mean, yeah, it is. Sure it is.
It can be used in a harmful way, the same way this can be used in a harmful way. It's not harmful by itself, but it's the way you use it.
True. Good. That's a good argument, knowing that he had no intention of making anything harmful, and he didn't. But it could be your intentions, too. I mean, DVD software was, decryptor was made to decrypt DVDs for a reason, so you can copy them.
For Linux, so you can play them on Linux. It wasn't meant to copy DVDs. It was meant so you can people can implement an open-source DVD player on your Linux box, so if you want to watch a DVD that you legitimately purchased, you can play it on Linux. Didn't natively support it. But yet, they got arrested for writing that program this kid builds the basis of a hydrogen bomb in his basement, and oh, that's okay.
Yeah, you got me. Good point.
I mean, come on.
No, you make sense. You really do. You're right. How could you, I was going to come back with the argument with intentions, that he has no intention of building a bomb, but the intention of DVD software is to, back up or, copy DVDs. Although, you're right, he was through Linux, and not for the, downfall of DVD market or anything like that. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, your weight. That sums up for me. I talked about all my stuff. And next week, I will be talking about Vista and how it really doesn't do much for anyone. I'll be going through over the main features that it described for Microsoft that it gives you, the new exciting features of Vista and why Vista is the only operating system you should use. And I'm going to come back with how all these features can be used at XP day-to-day. You might even use it, you never know. And that'll be next week's story. That'll be my main topic, is Vista and I'll come up with a title.
Yeah, definitely come up with a title. Yeah, so on our last show, we talked about the Wiki, about what it was going to be able to do in theory. And it finally shipped the day after we released the show. So I, took apart the Wii, put it in, booted it up and see what it was going to do. But first thing I noticed, when you turn your Wii back on, it doesn't notice any change in the hardware. Because of where the chip gets mounted, it gets mounted on the DVD-ROM drive and bypasses the ROM for the DVD-ROM drive. It has nothing to do with the motherboard, nothing to do with the BIOS. So with the Wii, it has no idea it's even there. So your Wii acts the same. You'd never be able to know the chip's in there. But when you go to put in a burned game that you downloaded from wherever, and you put it in, instead of it saying disk unreadable, it actually works as if you put a legitimate game in. And that has enabled me to try out a whole selection of new games for the Wii, which is quite incredible. I took about 50 pictures, and I have 3 really bad quality videos. I didn't have a video camera available to me. I had to use my cell phone. So I apologize for the bad quality, but I'll be uploading the videos on the forum at cmdradio.com, so you can see, what the Wii looks like on the inside and where the chip gets mounted and how I decided to mount the chip. So you can see how the installation process is actually quite simple if you have a little bit of soldering knowledge. It was only a matter of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wires. There's a video on YouTube already of someone else doing it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. But, I mean, they must have had some hardcore knowledge. It took me about 2 hours, 30 minutes, like 10 times the amount it took them. So, it is upgradable. Like it says it is, it does allow you to upgrade. I downloaded the setup disk for it and popped it in, and it loaded the chip, and I could change the settings, and it reflashes it. And it does have the bad flash recovery, so if it does flash wrong or whatever, it still can recover itself, and it works perfect. It works so great. The only problems that you'll have with it, if it doesn't work, it's going to be because you put it in wrong, but 90% of the problem is due to the download of the ISO itself or the burn. Those files are extremely sensitive. It's not like you can have a scratch in your disk and, Windows will still install. This, one thing goes wrong, this disk will not read, so you get a burn at around 2 to 4x. I got Wii Play to burn at around 16x, but that was the only one that I attempted burning at that speed. The second time I went to go do it, it didn't work. So I tried 8x, had problems with that, 4x, no problems, and I just stick with 2 to be safe. But if you're going to burn the ISOs themselves, use a good media. Don't use Staples brand or store brand DVDs, as they have a tendency to fall apart in your hands before you can put them in your drive.
I don't know. Have you had any bad experiences with bad media?
I usually stick with Memorex and HP.
How about Sony? I mean, Sony's what I've been using. And
yeah, I mean, now speaking of myself, I have the Wii Key in my hand. Actually, I'm about to open it. It just shipped to me because
I wasn't as enthused about the mod of the Wii as Azeal was, considering I bought Call of Duty. And then Azeal was like, well,
what about the Wii Key? I'm like, you could try it out. No big deal. Oh my god, I just opened it now. And it is the smallest thing in the world.
But how small is it in comparison to what?
Let's see.
Because I have to say a dime.
Let's say, this will be a little easier for people to see. It's about the size of the control key on your keyboard.
And no bigger.
Oh, yeah, it definitely fits inside that. Now, I have it in the little plastic casing because Bill is going to install mine for me because my soldering skills aren't nearly enough to work with this, aren't on par. And, yeah, it is amazing. So I'm excited about this. And, you know, next weekend we'll get together and install this sucker on my Wii, and I'll be downloading all my games. I already downloaded 8 of them just so I'm ready.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're into modding, I mean, I got 2 joys out of this. Number one, I'm not going to pay for games. Not that I'm supporting piracy, but I just don't have the money. I'm trying to save for college here. But I like modding stuff. I just cannot leave something alone. Every single time I get a piece of electronics, I have to rip it apart. I want to see what's inside. I want to see how it works. I want to know why it works. And, you know, that's why we're doing the show, because we like to talk about this kind of stuff.
But that is the best way to go. I mean, you're not going to learn anything unless you actually figure it out yourself. If you want to know how something works, open it up. Take it apart. You know, look at something. Figure out how, you know, one thing reacts to another, two reacts to another, to create a solution to whatever your problem is. If it's a watch, you know how a watch works. Open it up. Anything. A keyboard is actually a pretty cool thing to open up and try. Look out. It's very simple.
Cool.
It is. It's simple. There's nothing to it. It seems very like, oh my god, it's all crazy. No, it's. Open it up, and there's nothing to it. And same goes with, hard drives. They're fun to open, too.
Yeah, they are fun. I actually opened one yesterday. I'm still amazed by the inside of a hard drive to this day. I don't know how they pulled it off. I mean, they've been around for a long time. But they're really sophisticated.
Goodness. Today, we're broadcasting via Skype. I'm home, and he's home, and we couldn't be in the same area today. Couldn't get that together. So, you know, we Skyped.
I had a nice little snowstorm. It kind of held us back from that.
Yeah, snowstorm definitely held us back. But no worries. We got the internet, and we got our Skype and our recording software, and we're good to go. You probably don't even notice that we're away from each other. The voice quality probably is better than last week, considering we're a little more aware of how well our voices sound, you know, through microphones and the quality they sound at when we record.
We're still new to this, so as our shows progress, we'll be getting better and better quality, figuring out how this whole broadcasting thing works. But we were in a hurry to get out there, so.
Yeah, we want to get out there. We're excited. We're fun. To you know, we think it's fun to try new things and learn more stuff. And I think that's the end of our show. I think we're about to sum it up. I have nothing else to conclude. Again, next week.
Actually, I have one more thing. If you're going to install the Wii key, you're going to need a small screwdriver, a regular Phillips head. However, you're also going to need what they call a tri-wing driver. You're going to have to search and find it. I had to have mine imported from Singapore because nowhere locally had it, and it took me a while to get it. So I suggest ordering. Well, actually,
you can order it now with the Wii key. You can bundle it.
You can order it with the Wii key.
And the same with the solder wire if you don't have, you know, if you need that.
Yeah, because you definitely need high-quality wire. I tried soldering with low, crappy quality wire, and the solder wouldn't stick. That wire that it comes with is excellent. It sticks like glue. It's amazing. But you're going to need it. It's called a tri-wing driver. It looks like a Mercedes sign, that little X weird-looking thing. That's exactly what it looks like. It's a Mercedes sign. You're going to need that. It's actually the same that all Nintendo uses, the GameCube, the DS, all Nintendo uses that. So if you plan on modding, or if you've modded those, you probably already have it. If not, you know, you can pick it up at modchipstore.com. You can have it shipped with it. But yeah, that's about it. You just need a special screwdriver and soldering knowledge, and you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to get my hands on my Wii key. Or I have my hands on it, but there's no point to it. It'll be installed, and I'll be running games, too.
Okay, is that about it?
I think so. You know, I summed up everything I wanted to talk about. Next week, I'll be, again, discussing how Vista, you know, claims to be very new and different when I'll show you exactly what features have and are available in XP. And if not, do you really need them? You know, that'll be next week.
All right, great. And be sure, please join the forum, www.cmdradio.com.
With our RSS feed all up and running. So subscribe to it. It is in iTunes now, so you can subscribe to our CMD Radio in iTunes. So if that's your favorite your podcast aggregator, look it up and go for it. Thanks again. This is CMD Radio signing off.